Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happier happy hour, welcoming our fair audience, AM950 KTNF in Minneapolis. Welcome to the show. You can always be a part. We got Evan here in the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. And I got a fine code devil and a good friend here in studio in Madison. He's Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, if you don't mind, I want to start this hour talking about Ken Starr, who's now dead. Ken Starr, the guy who, used the Whitewater probe to impeach a U.S. president.
You know, it's amazing looking back at the folly of Ken Starr's investigation, the prurience of it, just how he went after every salacious detail about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. That's what they were investigating and prosecuting a president for. And compare that to the totally different scale of crimes that this ex-president Donald Trump has committed. And they just totally, what Clinton did, and I wasn't a big fan of Bill Clinton. I mean, the guy had a zipper problem. The guy, lied. And just was a used car salesman, in my opinion, and wasted all his great natural political talent. But look, what he did in comparison to what Trump did is nothing. Trump committed a crime against democracy. He was doing a coup. We've never had a coup before. And Republicans are still, talking about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton when they did nothing compared to this crime against our democracy that Donald Trump needs to be held accountable for. And I'm quite certain now that you're going to have your Merrick Garland day here on Devil Radio, because he is going to drop a big indictment. I think he's going to drop an indictment for everything, several different indictments on Trump, against Trump on the same day. But look, Ken Starr is going to go down in history as a guy who went after President Clinton for the pettiest of reasons. And Clinton was wrong to lie under oath. I think Russ Feingold was right on that one. He shouldn't have been lying. And this is the problem. When you're a liar, you lie to save yourself. And sometimes you're so used to lying that it doesn't really matter to you. But that's nothing compared to seditious conspiracy. That's nothing compared to interfering with an election. That's nothing with trying to overturn the Electoral College. That's nothing compared to inciting a mob. And so I think we need to keep those comparisons in mind today as we look at the obituary for Ken Starr.
Sleeps with the fishes.
Well, we didn't put him there. Natural causes, I believe. Ken Starr, I remember when was that? The 1990s, right? 1990s, I was in college.
Mid-1990s, yeah.
Late in the 1990s, I was trying to be a Christian man. And I made associations through a church, and I went to a couple of men's retreats, and I was doing my best, trying to walk with the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And these guys took the Clinton presidency so personally, like, oh, he was such a fallen character. He undermined the United States of America. And I know every single one. I know specifically some of these men still to this day, because a few have actually kind of pushed themselves into conservative politics. I know their politics. I know they supported Trump, and I know they forgave him his trespasses as they prosecuted the trespasses against Bill Clinton before there was the rusher. And before there was anything else, they knew that Donald Trump was a sexual abuser, alleged to be, by 20 plus women. They knew it because Donald Trump effectively confessed to it on the Access Hollywood tape.
I mean, this
Billy
is
Bush.
What I don't get. The right-wing Christian evangelicals, how could they know that, as I'm sure they did, everybody did, and still back the guy and still believe he was put here by God?
It's that whole strange Christian, well, Jesus died so I can, you know, sin again, and I'll ask Jesus for forgiveness, and I'll do a couple of Hail Marys if I'm Catholic.
Yeah, I get
that. But then
I'm
right back out there sinning again, Matt.
Yeah, I understand that process, but I just can't for the life of me understand why they give Trump a pass on his terrible transgressions every which way you look. I mean, I'm not a Christian.
Because
person.
He gave them things like Federalist judges like Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh that overturned Roe v. Wade. And that's what he promised he'd do. And he did deliver on things like that. Terrible social policy, I would say.
Well, I know that was
But he delivered on it.
I know that's the trade that Mitch McConnell made. But is that the trade that your friends made? I mean, they're looking at a guy, if they're a religious person, they're looking at a guy who's, you know, lower than low as far as his transgressions. And they're going to give him a pass because they want a right-wing judge on the
He wouldn't have won election if God didn't want it to happen. You know, that's the whole thing with God's bigger than all of us is whatever happens, apparently God wanted it to happen because he permitted it to happen. 844-967-2789. God wants you to call the Devil's Advocates right now.
And to advertise on the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, do that as well. That God would really appreciate that. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Yeah, that throws out the whole thing about free will right out the door, the way that some of these Republicans think that, you know, that we're just little pawns on God's chessboard.
Well, from the religious perspective, there's this, I think it's called the Calvinist predestination,
yeah,
right? Like God already determined it all before you did it. So, you know, we're just all out here living God's script, apparently.
It's apparently that there's a book I have in the Confederacy that talks about that they'd go to church on Sunday and have their sins exposed, you know their adulteries that they've committed with the slaves and with their maidservants and all that, and they'd you know, feel expunged from their sins and then go the next week to sin a whole lot more. Let's remember, a lot of the guys are screaming the loudest for Bill Clinton's scalp. We're busily engaged with their own mistresses, Bob Barr and Newt Gingrich, to name just two of them. I think every one of the ones that were screaming the loudest for Bill Clinton's scalp were had their own infidelity issues. I mean, it is just ridiculous that, good riddance for Ken Starr. I mean, the Republicans don't seem to care about, they claim they care about life, but they don't care about the chemicals that are the unborn are exposed to in utero because of, you know, the contamination, say PFAS and all that might be giving them long-term, you know, giving them birth defects.
Mark, they don't care about the kids after they're born either. It's they don't care. It's not about that. It's about controlling women. I mean, ultimately, let's call a spade a spade. They like to have control over the women. Ken Starr, by the way, of course, he died earlier today, if that's breaking news to you. I'm sorry if it's the Starr family hearing it for the first time. But after the Clinton impeachment, a little bit of the reporting from the Washington Post on Ken Starr's passing. Ken Starr in his future incarnation, right? After the Clinton impeachment, Starr would become the president of Baylor University in Texas. But in May of 2016... Baylor removed Starr as president of the university after an investigation found that the college had mishandled, meaning Starr had mishandled, accusations of sexual assault against its football players. Now, Starr remained as chancellor and professor of law. The university also fired its football coach. Well, what a punishment. You know, we take away one title and only leave you with two others and continue to pay you, assumably.
Nice work if you can get it. I mean, that's just embarrassing. But Ken Starr was an embarrassment. He was an embarrassment the way he handled the Whitewater investigation and moved on to Monica Lewinsky with no real predicate to do so. I mean, it was a ludicrous thing to do. And he did so like he was something out of an old, you know, Scarlet Letter novel, because he's the, you know, he's these Puritans going after someone who's committed adultery, and seemed to relish the details he was finding about Bill Clinton's body parts. It was ridiculous.
Wasn't Kavanaugh, now Justice Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, I believe, was part of the Starr investigatory team that, you know, helped to prosecute, or at least sought to prosecute through the impeachment process, Bill Clinton. So Starr's dead, you know, sorry for your loss, Starr family. I'm not sorry for your loss. I'm glad he's dead. I'm hating to say that. Someone will cheer for my death someday, man. I suspect a few of them, but you know, today it's your day, Ken Starr. And compare the corruption. Now, I think Starr had corrupt intent, but the former attorney general under Donald Trump, Bill Barr, were finding out, basically accepted and corrupted the Department of Justice to shield his former boss in real time, was shielding him from prosecution. And Matt, you know, of late, he's been coming out, this Bill Barr, trying to reclimate his reputation. Oh, Mar-a-Lago, Trump never should have had these documents. Well, first and foremost, you completely misconstrued, talking about Bill Barr, what was contained in the Mueller investigation.
Right. That's strike one.
But above and beyond that, these newest revelations, this newest breaking news we have, and we're going to break it for you if you haven't heard it yet, but effectively they tampered in Department of Justice investigations to keep Donald Trump out of the filings, out of the prosecution. Michael Cohen, the lawyer, the fixer. We've heard a lot about Michael Cohen. He spent 3 years in federal prison for collaborating on crimes, campaign finance crimes, that Donald Trump was exempted from being charged with or even mentioned in the federal filings because the old guy, Bill Barr, didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, that's strike two and strike three all at once. So, I mean, he should face some criminal proceedings himself for that. And yeah, he's trying to rehabilitate himself with his testimony at the January 6th committee and all the stuff about, you know, the Mar-a-Lago stuff, not being on Trump's side anymore. But look, he was a willing participant in crimes that Trump was committing and covering up for those crimes.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said this today. I am very sorry to learn of the passing of my friend Judge Ken Starr. He was a brilliant litigator, an impressive leader, and a devoted patriot. I thought he was a jerk.
He was a jerk, but he got Clinton under oath, and Clinton didn't take the fifth. There's a reason why Trump took the fifth. How many hundreds of times the other day?
Come back, more devils.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
Back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour, the Tuesday edition. Got Matt Rothschild here with me. He's Batman. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and he's co-deviling all the way to the quitting time. We'll get to the phones in just a minute. Evan's trying to screen them at 844-967-2789. But here's the headline, and this one quite troubling, Matt. Former federal prosecutor says Bill Barr fired him because investigations threatened Trump's reelection chances. This is the newest on the corruption of Bill Barr. Former federal prosecutor Jeffrey Berman has accused former Attorney General William Barr of firing him from his post because his department's investigations at the time threatened Trump's 2020 reelection chances. During an appearance on Rachel Maddow last night, Berman, who was the U.S. attorney at the Southern District of New York, told host Rachel Maddow that his department was working on several cases, including one involving former White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon. You remember Bannon? In the months ahead of the election, reading from a book by Berman to be published titled Holdin' the Line, Maddow asked the former federal prosecutor to address the notion that Barr, and here's the quote, no doubt believed that by removing me, he could eliminate a threat to Trump's reelection. How is your work as U.S. attorney a threat to Trump's reelection? Maddow asked. Well, at the time I was fired, the Southern District of New York was working on a couple of politically sensitive cases. One of those cases is the Steve Bannon We Build the Wall case. Well, he was convicted and later pardoned for that, right? And we were very close to indicting that case around the time I got fired. And Barr knew about the case, Berman told Maddow. Once Bannon was indicted by Berman's successor, Trump pardoned Bannon, which Berman called outrageous. It was outrageous. He also noted his office had begun, had also been investigating Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, two Trump allies who were eventually convicted of campaign finance charges that involved funneling money from a Russian tycoon into American political campaigns. Wonder whose campaign they were funneling the money into, Matt. And earlier Monday, Berman told ABC's Good Morning America that Trump administration's Department of Justice pressured him to indict former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig, two first names, Greg Craig, before the midterm elections and prosecute former Secretary of State John Kerry. They wanted John Kerry prosecuted. And Trump fired Berman in 2020 after he refused to resign from his position. I've never seen anything like that before, and I was a junior prosecutor in the Southern District in the early 90s. And I've never seen anything like that, Berman told Good Morning America, co-anchor George Stephanopoulos. People who have been in that office for 40 years never saw anything like that. It was unprecedented and scary. 844-967-2789. You are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got to find Co-Devil today. He is Matt Rothschild, but your calls are always appreciated here. Let's get back to him. Bill from Oconomowoc. Welcome, Bill. What do you got for us?
As long as you're talking about some of the all-star slime in the Republican Party, you touched on the only man that was named for something that lives under a rock, and that's Newt. And Newt did something that maybe you're aware of. Well, I'm pretty sure some people are aware of. He was talking to Clinton about family values while his wife lay dying of cancer, and he was fooling around with Calista, whatever her name is. And he was challenged in a debate about that. He actually lost it. He popped a cork when they brought that up. And he said, and I quote, or I'm going to quote generically, that they had no right to ask him that question. I think that guy is beyond slime. He also declared war on the Democrats in, I think, 2010 in his manifesto. And if I understand correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, he may be charged in some of this stuff that went on as being a co-conspirator. And last but not least, Kudi, you have taken the Democrats and the Progressive Party and the liberals and all that to new heights. If they win the midterms, it's because of you. If they lose, it's the Democrats' fault for being so stupid to just be handed an election like they're getting handed right now. So thanks for the job you do. You're tremendous. You are the best radio station in the country.
Well, thank you, Bill. You have excellent taste. And I have no particular insights, prosecutorial insights. You know, I'm wishing and I'm looking at public reporting, but I don't have any particular insights, Bill. I would say if the Democrats win, it's because we, in small part, help turn out the vote. Getting out yours, turning out the base, I'd like to think we do that. I'd also like to think that we try to give people opportunities and platforms for their opinions, and they don't always agree with mine. And, you know, that's okay to some level. Looking at you, CJ, some level. But anyways, we'll get to more callers, including CJ, probably at 844-967-2789. A little more on these allegations against Bill Barr, this alleged corruption at the highest levels of the Department of Justice. Michael Cohen says Berman's book confirms his allegations and demands the former U.S. attorney be prosecuted. A little bit from the coverage at the Raw story. Donald Trump's former lawyer, you know, the fixer, Michael Cohen, has long said that he was disproportionately targeted by the Justice Department and the Department of Corrections after it became clear he would no longer cover for his former client. Former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeffrey Berman, has spoken to Congress. He also spoke publicly after he was shoved out of the Justice Department by former AG Bill Barr for refusing to go after allegedly innocent people tied to former President Barack Obama for another foe of Trump ultimately became Cohen. Anyways, from the book, when Bill Barr took over as U.S. attorney in February of 19, 6 months after Cohen's guilty plea, he not only tried to kill the ongoing investigations we were engaged in, but incredibly he suggested that Cohen's conviction on campaign finance charges should be reversed because it might implicate Donald Trump as a conspirator in those crimes. Come back.
That's incredible, though.
More devil's advocates. Always incredible.
Don't come unlawfully. File for lawful entrance and wait your turn.
Don't let me down.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Man, I was very anxious to start this big segment with you. Got to find Co-Devil. He is Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, I feel like I'm stepping all over you, man. You got to have more opinions than I'm letting you get out.
Oh, no worries. It's always nice to be in studio with you. It's been a while since I've been here. I found my way back, though, and I'm having fun.
I have to stretch those hamstrings next time you come around.
One of the reasons I was quiet the last 5 minutes is I had a wicked cramp in my quadricep, hamstring, both.
Doesn't matter how you feel when you're on live radio. The show must go on. 844-967-2789. It always goes on. Hopefully it's a good show with your contribution, even yours, CJ. Welcome back.
Hey there, Crudy. Hey, Mr. Rothschild.
Hey, CJ.
Thank you for taking my call. I do enjoy how far you guys have to go down to consider what you consider breaking news, because I wanted to hang on just long enough to hear you discuss of another record the worst president ever reached again today, 8.6% inflation. What a great job this guy's doing. You know, and the voters this November, this is going to be a referendum on what he believes and what Mandela Barnes believes. And those ads that Ron Johnson is running tell the story about defund the police, Barnes.
And but that's not Barnes' position. Just because you say it, really? CJ, that doesn't make it reality. Now, here's an ass kicker for you, my friend. I filled up my gas tank today. I went to the store, and I even thought about you. Went to Quick Trip on University Avenue.
You went to the grocery store?
No, went to the gas station, put 21 gallons in my Jeep.
The groceries.
$67 fill up, CJ. $67.
Well, you know what?
And that's real money, you know, but that ain't over 100, dude. That's not gonna whitewash over all the bad governance policies of Republicans. People aren't gonna forget everything Republicans stand for because gas is $3.19 a gallon.
Republicans aren't in charge. The Republicans aren't in
But we remember when you CJ, and it was god awful.
You know what? He's using our strategic oil reserve. And he fought energy on day one. Wait till you have to pay heating bills this winter. And you know what?
I've always paid big bills, CJ.
And go down and bring up Ken Starr and the pedophile Bill Clinton. And you can, you know.
Well, it was news today, CJ. I mean, he did die today. We didn't make that up, you know.
You should put off talking about the dead guy until a more opportune time, whenever CJ thinks it's a good time to talk about it. You know, the fact that we aren't hammering your messiah, Trump, the sexual abuser, dude. You know, at least I was trying to keep it to legal discussions. Talking about the corruption of your messiah's attorney general, Bill Barr. He is very corrupted. And a little bit more. I want to come back to that subject because I don't want to get taken too far asunder by CJ. Back to the article about the book by Berman, who was a U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, fired by Donald Trump for refusing to investigate and prosecute an Obama attorney who was later prosecuted and acquitted, I would point out, CJ. But the Department of Justice was basically weaponized under your guy. An excerpt of Berman's book, Holding the Line, scheduled to be released tomorrow, well, I guess today that is, alleges that the Southern District, New York, was going after Michael Cohen, even after Cohen agreed to plead guilty. While Cohen has pled guilty to nebulous tax charges, he maintains that he was innocent of the crimes cited in his plea. Here's a quote. When Bill Barr took over as U.S. attorney in February of 19, 6 months after Cohen's guilty plea, he not only tried to kill the ongoing investigations we were engaged in, but incredibly, he suggested that Cohen's conviction on campaign finance charges should be reversed. Well, what were the campaign finance charges? It was paying off Stormy Daniels. And they had checks signed by Donald Trump. Let's not forget that part. Barr summoned my deputy, who was overseeing the Cohen case in late February, to challenge the basis of Cohen's plea, as well as the reasoning behind pursuing similar campaign finance charges against other individuals. See Donald Trump. He was told to cease all investigative work on the campaign finance allegations until Maine justice determined there was a legal basis for the campaign finance charges, to which Cohen already pled guilty, and until Barr determined there was sufficient federal interest in pursuing charges against others. Well, I guess Bill Barr must have decided never interested in pursuing them against his boss.
Also, in the Berman book, he says Barr wanted to get rid of him because they were investigating Roger Stone and Michael Flynn. I mean, this is some of the most grotesque politicization of the Justice Department that you'll ever see. This makes John Mitchell and the Nixon folks, you know, look like, you know, the JV team.
The question needing to be asked is, why would the president of the United States be so focused on this one facet of the Justice Department, other than for the reason that it was the court prosecuting my case? The answer is he wouldn't. So, in other words, Trump waded in and had Bill Barr wade in very specifically, both in the prosecution of Obama officials who were later acquitted, but Bill Barr also waded in apparently to even have the legal draft, the document. There's other reporting, not what I have in front of me. There was a 41-page document that was supposed to be filed in the prosecution of Michael Cohen. And they said, well, effectively, that's too many pages. And it wasn't about the pages. It was about the linking between the crimes of Michael Cohen and the crimes of Donald Trump. So they made the prosecutors, basically Berman and his crew, stay up all night and clean up the prosecutorial documents and change them to omit mention of the president and the possible complicitness of the president in these campaign finance crimes. So, you know, they came out the other end with a 20-page charging document and no references to Donald Trump, but that's not the way justice is supposed to work.
Well, it's really embarrassing. It's an outrage what Bill Barr was doing there at the Justice Department. I always thought that Trump should have been held responsible, criminally responsible, for the Stormy Daniels hush money. What was it, $250,000 or something like that, when, you know, the most you could give to a presidential campaign was $22,750. So it was 100 times almost the amount. And it was clearly an effort to help the campaign of Donald Trump by hushing up Stormy Daniels. And why Cohen, you know, had to get convicted and Trump's name didn't even appear, I mean, that's just unbelievable.
A little bit more from this reporting. Trump's Justice Department directed the SD New York not only to reevaluate the basis of Cohen's plea, but they wanted the Southern District New York to stop investigating anybody involved in those crimes committed by the Trump campaign to try and cover up evidence of alleged affairs, according to MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. SDNY also was contacted by Trump's Justice Department senior officials, and they were told that they needed to get rid of all mentions of individual one.
Who might that be?
Well, that was Trump, of course, in the Michael Cohen indictment. That was the taking a 40-page document and turning it into a 20-page document. SDNY said no to that. They resisted, but SDNY officials did take out the Michael Cohen-related court filings. The most direct language they had in those filings saying what role Trump played in those crimes. As Berman described it, the information was being finalized after Cohen agreed to plead guilty. The documents were about 40 pages long and identified an individual one as acting in concert with Cohen, meaning Trump and Cohen were co-conspirators in these crimes.
There you go. So where was the indictment on Trump?
It was obvious that it was Trump, but Edward O'Callaghan named Robert Khuzami, demanding to know why the indictment was so long and detailed. He argued that now Cohen was pleading guilty, the book says, we don't need all this description. What exactly are you concerned about? O'Callaghan proceeded to identify specific allegations he wanted removed, wanted the charging document to remove references to individual one, Donald Trump. It quickly became apparent that contrary to what O'Callaghan professed, it wasn't the length or the detail of the document that concerned him. It was the mention of individual one. Khuzami and O'Callaghan went through a handful of these allegations, some of which he agreed to strike, others he did not. Sensing this was going to be a long process, he told O'Callaghan he was not aware of his concerns and the team would remove certain non-essential details. They stayed up most of the night. They revised information in Cohen's case from now to 21 pages, down from 40. It removed certain allegations, including allegations that individual one acted in concert with and coordinated with Cohen, meaning that they removed the allegations of criminality against Donald Trump on the illegal campaign contributions. The information now alleged that Cohen acted in concert and coordinated with, quote, one or more members of the campaign. So individual one, Donald Trump, he did this stuff with Donald Trump becomes he did this stuff with someone from the campaign, whoever it might have been. The specific mentions of Cohen committing this crime, this federal felony, in concert with coordinating with Trump in the commission of the crime, those specific references were taken out of the court filing to not mention Trump specifically. And the investigators on that case were also directed by main justice that they needed to stop investigating anybody other than Michael Cohen for those crimes. Senator Dick Durbin announced yesterday that the Senate Judiciary Committee would be holding an investigation of the details in this book. But why must we wait for the books, Matt?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. Why are we waiting for a book? Why didn't this guy run out and go make this information public a year and a half ago?
Well, the same thing about Woodward's book. I mean, you know, or any of these guys' book, the generals who write these books about how terrible Trump was and what a danger to democracy he was. Didn't you think people had the right to know that, you know, before the election? Certainly, if we were sitting here in the second term of Donald Trump, God forbid, you know, it would have been nice to know beforehand.
Well, Michael Cohen would like to see this former federal prosecutor exposed to his own prosecution because of his efforts against Cohen. I mean, what he did, the fact that they accepted that to some way, shape or form, I mean, they also participated in the corruption. They might have done so at the directive of Bill Barr and Maine Justice, but they were also corrupted by these actions, Matt.
It's total cover up. It's a total corruption in the Justice Department. Bill Barr and the Justice Department, they were acting like Trump's personal attorney or campaign manager. They weren't acting like, you know, the chief law enforcement agency of the United States government. I mean, that's an outrage. And I can't wait for those Durbin hearings to start.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Matt Rothschild. He is my co-devil for a few more minutes. You can still be a part of this show. Still time for you at 844-967-2789. Matt, there was an inflation report that came out today, and the reaction of Wall Street, the stock market, the Dow tumbled 1,200 points. Worst day since Trump's presidency, worst day of the Biden presidency on the markets. Now, personally, I'm all invested in the radio industry. I'm not invested one iota in the stock market, so it's not affecting my future. But a lot of people had to take a moment and pause when the markets are down 4% in one day. I mean, don't look at your 401ks this week, folks.
No, it's not good news for anybody, really. And politically, it's not good news for Joe Biden. I mean, CJ is right about that. I mean, the inflation news is bad news for Biden. I got to think that with the Federal Reserve moving, and I think even too fast, I think the economy is going to screech to a halt here and inflation is going to go down. But, you know, we're just 2 months away from an election here. And how quickly are the inflation numbers going to go down? And is unemployment going to go up in a way that's going to hurt Biden also? So kind of Biden's between a rock and a hard place on this one. And I don't think the Fed's going to make his job any more easy or the Democrats who are running. in the election 2 months from now. So it's a tough news story for Democrats, and there's a couple ways around it, really, except that inflation isn't really totally on Biden's plate. I mean, every Western industrialized country is going through inflation because of the war in Ukraine, because of the supply chain problems, and yes, because of the bounce back from the terrible COVID pandemic and what was necessary to get people back on their feet.
Yeah, but Matt Rothschild, $67, 21 gallons of gas. As far as I was concerned, earlier today, that ain't so bad,
yeah,
CJ.
Yeah, gas prices have come down. There's no doubt about it.
They ain't so bad. More Devils. We'll be back.
Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer. He's a good lawyer in my firm.
That there will never be a peaceful transition of power.
Michael Cohen is
going to be dead.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got to find Code Devil for a few more minutes. You could still get a part of my friend Matt Rothschild by calling 844-967-2789. Join us on the phones. Matt, you've got some public speaking events. People can see you coming up. Let's plug a few of them while there's time. You got your calendar, your schedule up.
Well, I'll get there. I'm going on Thursday night to Thienesville. That's in Ozaukee County. I'm speaking to the Ozaukee County Dems about...
I like the Ozaukee County Dems. They are quite a fired-up group. And Ozaukee County, you think one of the wild counties. That's deep red territory. No, they got a very engaged group of Democrats in Ozaukee County.
That's the thing. I mean, whenever I travel around the state, even if it's to red counties, there are good people everywhere who are... fighting the good fight. And I like to go and congratulate them for fighting the good fight. And I'm going to be talking about the anti-democracy movement that we're facing here in Wisconsin and around the country and how we defeat it. So I like being able to get around the state. During COVID, I didn't travel at all for 2 years. And just in the last several months, I've started to go back out on tour. And I enjoy doing that.
Man, I was listening to Righty Whitey talk radio, less enjoyable endeavor. But listening to Icky Vicky down the dial a little bit earlier today.
Better you than me.
And Vicky was chastising people at the gun show. Apparently she was hanging out at the gun show recently, giving out Ron Johnson bumper stickers. She said, "I couldn't believe people at the gun show didn't want a Ron Johnson bumper sticker. These are freedom-loving, patriot kind of people." And primarily because she said they didn't want to start the fight with their neighbors. They didn't want the contentious nature of the Johnson campaign. And she, of course, lives her entire life to pick fights. So she's like, "I can't believe it, you chicken coward, yellow-bellied sapsucker losers," whatever she was calling her audience, because, you know, she often says nice things about them. If they weren't ravenously enough supportive of the Republican endeavors. And she did make a point. She said, "You know what? You're afraid to argue with a liberal." And I'm thinking to myself, I've heard that from some of our fair audience members, friends of mine. Man, I know you're a smart guy and you can hold your own in any argument. But some people, they just don't want to have these conversations with the CJs of the world. You know what I mean? It's like, I'd rather not even talk about politics than, you know, getting a tough conversation. Matt, where do you stand on that whole topic?
Oh, I think we should talk to people who don't agree with us. I don't mind talking to CJ. I have a fantasy that CJ is going to come around as much as he listens to your station all the time. And I think
he is a P1 listener. I hope he gets an Arbitron book.
Yeah. Pretty soon he's going to be singing in our choir. So, but I've got a neighbor, for instance, who's got a Brandon flag out and sometimes a Trump flag out. And I want to talk to that person at some point about politics. Before I do that, I'm talking to that neighbor about things that we have in common. He's a bird watcher. I'm a bird watcher. I want to make a connection with him on some non-antagonistic
level. So do you
give
him the bird across the fence?
Not that bird. No, I just ask him what's on his feeders, you know. But at some point, I'll have a conversation with him. And, you know, I was speaking to the Kiwanis Club in west side of Madison the other day, and I got a lot of negative feedback on my talk about Trump and what a threat he was to our democracy.
Meaning they were pro-fascist
Well, they just, you know, they said, you know, both sides do terrible things and this, that, and the other. They wondered about voting and whether, you know, the votes were kosher and everything. And the great thing is, two of the people who raised questions during the event walked outside with me and talked with me in a very civil way for a half hour just outside. And I think I made
Who's got that kind of time, though, Matt? No, I do. I tease. Well, apparently you do, sir.
I have nothing else on my schedule. But, yeah, I think it's important to try to change some minds. We got to nudge some people back from the craziness that they've been ingesting on Fox News and right-wing radio.
Now, is it okay to tell them they're wrong, Matt? Because I feel like I got to be blunt with the people. If they're wrong, if you're wrong. CJ, when you're wrong, we try to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, but if it's person to person, I think you need to try to connect. And I don't think you should call them names. I don't think you should say you're stupid. You can say, you know, you're wrong here. Here's why I think you're wrong.
No, I leave the name calling mostly for Vicki McKenna and her audience.
Yeah.
If they're not sufficiently patriotic.
I think when we're talking to people one-on-one, we need to be respectful and try to bring them around. You're not going to change anyone's mind by screaming and yelling at them, calling them names.
I've tried. It doesn't usually work. Matt. How about yard signs? Small indicators. Vicky's big complaint. You know, Republicans not wanting to put a bumper sticker for the love of God on their car. Well, some people, as she said, you know, were worried about getting their cars keyed. I'm like, I haven't seen a lot of lefties out there keying a car because they had a, you know, Scott Walker bumper sticker or Ron Johnson. We might think the thought, but we don't usually carry through with the action. But is it really all about that? I mean, can't you express your affinity, even if you like Ron Johnson? I'm not going to go pull the yard sign out of your yard.
No, it's really important. I think people should put up your yard signs, especially progressives. Put up your yard signs. There's three doors down, someone's got a Michael sign up. I mean, in our neighborhood.
You didn't go steal it yet?
No, it's still there. And she walks her dogs, and I always wave and talk about gardening with her, whatever. You know, we're living in the town of Dunn, which is a mixed political community. It used to be one block from West High and Madison, and that would be all Democrats. And now I'm in a more diverse
You're on community. Purple land.
Yeah.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. You know, we're playing out in some of the red parts of the state as well. And we're going to start playing out in a very swing part of the state. Richland Center is going to join the Civic Media portfolio of properties, I guess you would say.
Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah.
That's Dale Schultz territory, too. I love
that. Well, and I've had a recent conversation with my pal, former Senator Dale Schultz. I look forward to having Dale on the airwaves with more frequency. I'm trying to get the guy in to do a show for us. We'll see if Dale can
that'd be good.
He'd find that sort of time in his calendar. But we will not have conversations exclusively with Democratic friends. We're certainly going to have reasonable Republicans and independents and thoughtful people of all sorts on the airwaves, because that does reflect the audience. They're not my voters, man, but they're my listeners, and we have to be appealing to, you know, even some of the CJs.
And there are just too few places in Wisconsin in the media where you can have a discussion with people who don't agree with you. And we need more of that if we're going to have a civil society and a functioning democracy.
And about a week from now, Matt, we're going to make our official foray into the Northwoods. Amory, Wisconsin. We're going up into Amory. Got to get the internet turned on up there, and then we'll turn on the signal, and we'll start doing our super cool radio. And, Matt, you know, come next week, I may need your help, because my boy Dom's still traveling. He's on an airplane to the Czech Republic.
Oh, lucky him. Well, you got my number now. You found it, so you know how to reach me.
Matt Rothschild, always great to have you come by. Always great to have you all come by here on the Devil's Advocates. Thanks for listening today. It is a Tuesday. That means we've got Educated Educators Talking Education at 7 o'clock. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. And between here and there, we've got Native Roots Radio with our friends Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot. Give them a listen. Keep it locked right here. Civic Media, a growing empire of properties, growing every day. Thanks for listening.
I don't like to get into taking sides.
When this all gets sorted out, I think you and me should get an apartment together.